Well, good morning, everyone, and it's good to be able to now open up our Bibles and think about what God has to say to us this morning. If we haven't yet met, my name is Graham Sayer, and we are, as Paul mentioned, taking just a bit of a step out of Galatians to focus on some strategic things for us as a church. Good to do that throughout the year so that we don't lose our way. Let's just ask God now to be with us and to help us to be bright and clear and receptive and warm and loving. Let's ask for him right now to do that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this place and this time, this opportunity. In a time where there is, as we've mentioned already, so much loneliness, so much distance, so much uncertainty, so much anxiety, both on the global scale and also closer to home, and even in our own lives, we pray that as we look into your word, we might see again the Lord Jesus, the only hope for this world, the only hope for us. And may we love him and be able to hear him speaking life into our lives, particularly in this area of growing. And we ask that that will bring glory to you in the way that we respond. May your spirit be powerfully among us for your glory's sake. Amen. Well, I wonder what we'll end up calling this COVID 2020 sort of period as we look back on it from the future. Will it be the great COVID shutdown? Maybe the great COVID reset? Likely, it'll be probably something like, do you just remember the COVID thing? Do you remember COVID? But attaching the great to it, it's actually quite an appropriate thing to do because it's been quite a great thing, hasn't it? As you measure greatness, COVID has literally been global in its scope and highly impacting in its effects all over the place. All layers of society and every society on this planet has been impacted. They've had to own this reality that this microscopic thing that looks a bit like that, whatever that pink thing is up there, looks a bit like that, microscopic, we can't see it, has had just this massive impact. It's been a serious threat, and we've reordered our lives around it on a scale that no one could have imagined. Certainly not at the start of this year. It certainly left its mark. It's expressed in all sorts of ways. Here's a poem. Just listen to this short poem by a chap called Zane Smith. He says this: at this state in time, we're vulnerable. Sitting and waiting, days pass as we don't sit in class. Everyone around us, fragile as glass. Families hurt, jobs on pause, while the news plays more pain every day. Lives gone so fast, at the snap of a finger, the world froze as we search for hope. The world froze as we search for hope. That's just a groan there, isn't there? There's a groaning around. The economies that many have put their hope in have been decimated. The party politics of national leaders and regimes around the world have been confronted by a level of national need, a universal need that has perhaps never been seen before. There's a groaning going on. Many of the things people worship by giving their daily efforts and their energies to, they were just cut off. Couldn't do them. Shut down. And the vast majority of people in this world then acted and they accepted massive constraints on their normal lives for the greater good. More or less, people did that. The world froze as we search for hope. The question, why is COVID on people's minds and in their lives? Many think that Mother Nature is somehow making a big correction to the excesses of this organism called human beings. There's a groaning behind that idea too. But as great as the scale of COVID is, it's not greater than God, who made everything, who sustains everything, who providentially orders everything. He's bigger. And he not only can bring amazing good out of the most awful circumstances, but he's actually promised to do so. And that includes through COVID. Hope is found in him alone. And because of him, and while still acknowledging that COVID has had many traumatic and catastrophic impacts, but because of God, we can look back and we can look around now and we can look ahead very, very differently from most. See, it's not just the great COVID shutdown or the great COVID reset or just COVID. There's actually a sense in which it's the great COVID opportunity. There's an opportunity. And so let's think about that together. It's a unique opportunity. When this whole lockdown thing came to us back in March, we got together, didn't we? We had a sort of a test because we knew we were going to be doing this sort of live stream thing that we sort of moved away from again because we've been able to regather. But we did this sort of test session, and I picked up at that time on something Jesus said, and we read it earlier. And I think it's a good time to come back to what we said then and thought about then. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus was speaking to a group of people that had seriously underestimated the opportunity that was before them, the opportunity they had in Jesus Christ. Jesus was bringing his message of good news, and he was going around and about. He was driving out evil in all sorts of forms. He was demonstrating his authority to do just that. All through the gospel accounts, we have it recorded, but chapter 12, verse 13, verse 15, verse 22, you see some amazing miracles there. He's fulfilling, as he does those miracles of healing and driving out demons, fulfilling Old Testament prophecies about himself, that he would be the one who's stronger than evil, the one stronger even than the devil, Satan. The one who alone can release the captives of Satan. That's what he had come to do. That's what his message was. That's what he demonstrated in his power. But the religious leaders, what's their response to this? They just ask for a sign. But we want a sign. Well, you just had a bunch of signs. No, we want a sign. And instead, Jesus gives them two examples of unlikely people who did take an amazing opportunity. That's the people of Nineveh in the time of Jonah, who, even though Jonah was reluctant as anything to preach that message, they repented, they changed, and they turned to God. And they found hope. They took that opportunity. And the Queen of Sheba does similar, coming to listen to, to Solomon's wisdom. So he gives these two examples of unlikely people who did take the opportunity he presents. And then follows it with this in verse 43. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I'll return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. Now, we noted back in March that there's a clearing out in view, there's a space left behind. And then there's a refilling of that space, a clearing out. An impure spirit comes out of a person who's pictured as a building, as a house, a home even. Kicked out. Out with the impure. But even though it's evicted, in what Jesus says, this spirit, this impure spirit, is still looking for a home. there's this space then left behind. And it's a space that is now tidy, it's clean, it's orderly, but crucially, it's unoccupied. There's no life in that place. And then there's a filling up of that space. What could fill that up? Well, it turns out the impure spirit has been roaming around, decides to head back to its home to see if it can get in there, and it can, along with a number of others who are worse. And so the final state of that place, that home, that person is worse than the first. Now, Jesus, in saying this, is critiquing a wicked and adulterous generation. And he's saying clearly that it remained wicked and adulterous because what was driven out was not replaced with something better. An opportunity had been missed. There was just a big hole. Now, COVID, if nothing else, brought a clearing out of our lives, didn't it? At least on some level. The calendar. Definitely on the calendar for a period of time. Hey, it may still do it again in the future, mightn't it? Got to be prepared and ready for that. A big space appeared as all manner of activity options and busyness possibilities were suddenly taken away. It's on a unique scale. International, domestic, air travel brought to a standstill, all but essential shops closed, all extracurricular activities suspended, leisure options zeroed out, work furloughed or moved home, school made remote. There was nothing hidden from this. And perhaps it seems harsh to equate many of these things with the idea of an impure spirit being driven out, as in Jesus' story. But on the other hand, the busyness, the complexity of life, the unending competing interests for our time as individuals are often what we're groaning about, aren't they? Before COVID. And as Jesus says elsewhere, and as was alluded to in the kids' talk, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things, what do? They come in and they choke God's word in God's people, making it unfruitful. Many things make up that picture of that busyness and so on. Many things are in our lives. Many good things. Will we say many evil things? Maybe we would, maybe we wouldn't. Might not share that. But certainly an unmistakable effect. And, you know, no delusion is more subtle and more compelling as a heap of good things, right? Getting in the way of the best things. The danger in our thinking is that to be evil, and for these things to be evil, we require whatever those things are to be overtly evil, when all they need to be is getting in the way of what is best, what is most important, and what is crucial. Getting in the way of Jesus. Getting in the way of growing in Jesus. In Matthew 12, in the sort of area where we've taken this passage from, Jesus said, "Whoever is not with me is against me." So with everything stripped back, COVID brought this opportunity that perhaps we'll never see again, a unique opportunity to reset, to make some changes for the better, but more, a unique opportunity to reflect on how we are living for Jesus, surely. And that leads to our second point. If it was a unique opportunity, did we take it? Was it an opportunity taken or an opportunity wasted? As we're hopefully now coming out of COVID and certainly the tougher measures that we experienced early on here in Tassie, how have we changed? Can I ask you, have you changed? Has anything changed? out of that time that God brought us into and has brought us through. Calendars were emptied, now they're filling up again. Is it just back to the same old? Is the old stuff just pouring back in? The problem with the generation that Jesus was speaking to was it seemed that they thought that they could be neutral towards Jesus, that they could just be sort of moral, treat him like a good teacher and just sort of clear up my life and tidy my life up. But Jesus is never neutral. Jesus said, "Whoever is not with me is against me." Jesus has you and you have Jesus, or you're against him. And so is it possible then that my life could be so full of even good things, things that I can justify, that the better and the best things, the I'm with Jesus things, aren't really getting a look in, being frozen out? If so, then I'm going against Jesus. I'm not as with him, perhaps, as I thought I was. Now, in terms of some positive outcomes of the COVID measures, it sort of brought families, in many cases, very close together. People expressed delight that families seemed closer, spent more time together. Communities sort of, to some extent, banded together. Busyness took a break. We didn't know what to do with ourselves. We even did jigsaw puzzles and things. But how many of us can reflect back and say, as we think about it now, that actually we grew deeper in our relationship with Jesus? That the opportunity to reset allowed us to reorder the priorities of our lives in line with being on mission together with Jesus. To hear him say again, "Seek first my kingdom." And how many of us are willing to say that actually things might have gone the other way? Things might have got worse because the space that had been filled with all manner of things and busyness and so on, having been emptied, is now filling up again with even less regard for Jesus being our Savior and our Lord. It's a big question, isn't it? What have we done with the opportunity God gave us? Is it an opportunity taken or an opportunity wasted? More importantly, because that's now in the past, more importantly, what will we do with the opportunity that still is? Will it be an opportunity taken or wasted? And so I want us to look in our third point at some thoughts on taking the opportunity, whatever place we're at with this, all right? Everyone growing then, not groaning. Point number three. And so, as we've mentioned, this sermon is one in a series of three that is picking up crucial strategic priorities for us as a church, really important things that we want to be focusing on, right? That's what all those big words added together mean. Okay, we're taking them seriously as a church, as a leadership. And as you read the New Testament, you read about churches and individuals in churches, and one dynamic word appears again and again. Grow. Growing. Everyone growing is a strategic priority for us as a church. We haven't picked it out of thin air, as I've said. It's there in 2 Thessalonians 1. Your faith, Paul says to the church, is growing more and more, and the love of all you have for one another is increasing, growing and increasing. It's there. Another great example that we've looked at in recent times is Ephesians 4, verse 14 to 16. Paul again saying to the church in Ephesus, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There's just two examples of so very many. It's a big deal. And so as we take a moment to say during COVID, how are you going? I want us to ask and answer, how are you growing? Because in this picture, here in Ephesians 4, everyone in this room is in view, aren't they? You're all in view. This is the body of Christ. It's got a head, the Lord Jesus. And this grows and builds itself up in love. That's important, isn't it? Because it's not just you as an individual. It's us together as well. They're growing together. That's where Jesus, the head, is taking His body, the body that Jesus gave His life on the cross to bring into being. He died to bring you into this, to be part of this, to be this thing. Not a bunch of individuals, a thing together. So that we'll be strong, so that we'll have life, so that we'll have a hope to show this world, especially in this COVID season. That should be shining out from us, shouldn't it? So that our young people grow up into strength and not weakness. As a church leadership, we do have some worries. They have to do with questions like, where are the next leaders coming from? They're like, if God answers our prayers for this church to grow, as many more are saved, and we have multiple congregations of saved sinners praising God, then who is going to joyfully serve in all the areas of service and ministry? This here is wonderful, and this we love this, right? This is the tip of the iceberg for what we're about. What our activity is in this world. It's a small part. So much else goes on because we want people to hear about Jesus. So those questions come, and the answer to some of those questions has to do with this natural outcome of everyone growing, a body that's healthy and strong and developing, building itself up in love. And so we need a vision for that, I think. An expectation and a desire. An expectation that we will grow, a desire that we want to. Now, I'm going to go back to a skeleton in the closet. I remember watching England beat Australia in the Rugby World Cup back in the 2003 Rugby World Cup. Anyone remember that? Yeah, well, you're not going to talk about it. I'm an Australian citizen, okay, so I can talk about this now. Anyway, don't worry about the result, but at such times, as is usual, the coach's approach was scrutinized. How did he wangle that? Well, you just make Johnny Wilkinson kick straight. Anyway, how did he bring this about? How did he do it? And he said that he had this compelling vision that he set before his people. He said that if you identify 100 places within your organization and your approach where you can improve just 1%, grow 1%, what is the sum total of improvement across the team? 1% in 100 places. 100%. It's good, isn't it? Tweaking on the detail, paying attention to everyone, every moving part, just going a little bit better. Small increases, but together they even beat Australia in the Rugby World Cup. What might that look like under God here? Huh? I think there's about 100 people in it. What might that look like? Is that a vision we can get around? I mean, that's a small thing, a small step for individuals. But as a church family, the magnifying effect is massive. And that is the life that Jesus has brought us into and the expectation to have. We've got a tool that we're sort of using in our leadership. It's a very big table, right? And it's all about growth. And can you see the little pink circles on there? That's where grow is mentioned. Grow, growing, growth, growth, right? This is a progression of where you get from just being a part of our church, all right, and all the way up to senior leadership at the top, right? So different sort of things to be aware of, right? The thing I want you to get is that bottom line is the vision for every member of this church. And it says, grow in the love and service of God and others. So we've got these up on the screen. There you go. I'll just read them out like a machine gun. Here's a vision for areas to grow in. Grows in love and service of God and others. Grows in the conviction that my life is about God and His glory. Grows as a disciple and encourages others to grow as disciples. Grows in their support of the church's vision, values, and culture. Grows in their support of the church's strategy and mission. Grows in their prayer and commitment to the execution of that strategy, actually doing the mission. Grows in their love for others and commitment to be developed to be most useful for the cause of the gospel. Grows in the contribution of their personal resources for the growth of God's kingdom. Grows in the personal ministry abilities needed for a life of Christian service. There's plenty there to grow in, isn't there? And all of these things flow not just out of a meeting that we had. They flow from Scripture. And they're held out as an opportunity because of Jesus, because of what He's called us into, because we're not against Him. We're with Him, aren't we? And so I pray that this will start a conversation that you can have, a thought process, a period of reflection about the opportunity that we have. I pray that we can take the opportunities, whatever they are that COVID or anything else brings, and take them to the glory of God. Not just groan about it. There's a lot of groaning about it. But there's also opportunities. I pray that by God's grace, all of us, young, old, will grow. Seek to grow, desire to grow enthusiastically, not groaning about being on mission together with Jesus. Loving it, yearning for it, ordering our lives around it. I pray that as we grow, maybe 1%, one little bit in lots and lots of different areas. By God's grace, the impact will not only be seen, but felt. Not just in here, we will feel it, but out there in our lives. The world froze as we search for hope. People are looking for this hope, aren't they? Where will they find it? Well, they'll find it in Jesus, of course. He is the only hope. But as Jesus works in us, on us and through us, may people find that hope in us here as we're growing, not groaning, through COVID to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, again, this opportunity that we have. We pray that the seed, as it were, that's been sown may not be taken away, may not be smothered by the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things, but may produce a harvest of righteousness as your people grow, because you're at work in us and on us and through us. We ask it for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.